Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Pear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Well, welcome to ENN.
Fight through it, buddy.
It's brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
So I got a big hole in my mouth.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Shut up.
And to Michael one more time, please.
You took the dogs out.
All right, guys. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. An interesting weekend in the NFL, to say the least. The Raiders end up making the playoffs for just the second time since their Super Bowl appearance with Rich Gannon back in 2002. The only other time was in 2016. When the great Connor Cook made his only career start.
Was that the backup quarterbacks? Were they playing the Texans? Who did they play that also had a backup quarterback?
Well, that was the game that RC just referred to when Derek Carr had that great season and then got hurt, correct?
Yes.
And they ended up making the playoffs but had zero chance without him there. Now, if you watched the game last night, you know one of the big controversies was the timeout called late in overtime by Brandon Staley, head coach of the Chargers. It seemed like the feel watching on television was that the Raiders were going to try to run the ball, but I thought that they would end up just sitting on it at the end and not risk anything. Staley ends up calling a timeout. A play later, they pick up a first down and then kick a field goal to win the game, sending the Chargers home for the year. Let's hear from Brandon Staley on that timeout late in overtime.
Yeah, we needed to get into the right grouping. We felt like they were going to run the ball, so we wanted to get our best 11 personnel run defense in, make that substitution so that we could, you know, get a play where we would deepen the field goal.
Derek Carr said after the game that timeout changed their mentality. Do you think that had any reason to do with them?
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there, and we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one-back run defense in here, and that's what we did.
Was any part of the motivation for you saving time to potentially win it if they were to miss that field goal?
My mindset was to make the field goal as long as possible.
Now here's Rich Bisaccia, head coach of the Raiders. Did he consider playing for the tie?
It was a conversation. We were talking about it. You know, I don't know if you know, we ran the ball there, and they didn't call a timeout. So I think they were probably thinking the same thing, you know, and then we had the big run to there. And when we got the big run, it got us, we thought it was advantageous field goal position for us. We were going to take the field goal and try to win it. But we were certainly talking about it on the sideline. We wanted to see if they were going to call a timeout or not on that run. They didn't, so we thought they were thinking the same thing. And then we popped the run in there and gave us a chance to kick the field goal to win it. So we're certainly talking about it.
I'm amazed that anybody is defending the timeout because the clock is your friend as long as it keeps running. If you're the Chargers, instead you stop it, and you got a different personnel for run. And what the last run got what 5-6 yards, which brought them into field goal range.
Right.
It was a massive mistake.
Now Andrew defended it.
I know, and he was wrong.
Well, wait a minute. Let Andrew speak for himself. Andrew.
Well, I defended it because, first off, Brandon Staley does not know what the Raiders' mindset is. I mean, he has to assume that they're going to try to win the game, especially when they're right on the cusp of what field goal range would be. So he lets the play clock run down. If he had called that timeout immediately, then sure, then he's signaling to the Raiders, I'm trying to win this game. I want time left for my team. But he lets it get down to 5 seconds. He beats the snap to get the timeout, to get the right guys on the field. And I don't really see a problem with that. He can't afford to allow the Raiders to get any yardage there to make that a makeable field goal. So,
but they did anyway. So the timeout was useless.
Well, okay, you're right. They didn't execute. Like he said, sometimes bad things happen to you. But I don't think his decision-making process was flawed there. I think he has to think this is their season. He's got to be of the mindset that they're going to try to win it with a field goal.
Well, the other thing that you had mentioned that Coach didn't mention was that he wanted to be able to give his defense, you know, a bit of a blow. But he didn't say that. So I guess that wasn't the reason. And the reason was to change the personnel. But with 5 seconds left on the play clock, he had more than enough time to change the personnel to what he wanted it to be.
And also, why are we defending it when the quarterback on NBC said it did change our thinking? And then you just heard the Bisaccia say we were talking about just running it out.
Well, I can't believe that either.
And if are they lying?
I don't know. I guess they're telling the truth, but I'm just saying I'm shocked that they were so willing to just take a tie there.
But they were going to run a play, and they ran a play, and it got them into field goal range. So I don't know what Derek Carr's talking about as far as changing their mindset. They didn't throw the ball. I can't imagine the play would have been any different than the run that they had.
The only thing
that changed their mindset, Peter, was how many yards they gained on that run.
Here's what I'm thinking.
If they were really trying for a field goal, they would have thrown the ball?
Well, you don't want to take that chance because it could get picked off.
But they're not taking any chance by running the ball. So if they were stuffed, then there was no chance they were trying a 60-yard field goal, which could be blocked.
Here's what the mentality was, I believe, that Derek Carr is referring to. No one had called a timeout on the drive. And I think they would never say this, but maybe there was a little bit in their mind of like, okay, they're not going to call a timeout. We're not going to call a timeout. We'll just keep running our plays and see what happens. We're going to make it look competitive, but we're not going to do anything to stop this clock because we know we're good with a tie. The second the first timeout gets called, they go, all right, well, forget it. Now I guess we're trying to stop the clock. And now we're going to change our mentality. I think it could be that subtle a shift that made a difference.
But what was the mentality change? What did they switch to from a run to a run? Like, what did they do differently than what they were planning on doing?
Maybe they wouldn't have even pulled up for the field goal after the run if they'd gotten the first
down. And also, by calling the timeout, you have them really consider what play to call.
Right.
I mean, they might have come up with a different play call. At that point, they're just running the ball into the line. And the clock would keep running. Instead, you've stopped the clock, let them reconsider everything. Why would you do that?
I think the mindset from Carr might have been, all right, you call the timeout, and now we want to beat you.
That's what I thought it was, Don.
Yeah, but I don't think it changed the mindset as far as the play they were going to call. That's the play they were going to call. They were going to run. If they got enough yards, they were going to kick. If not, they were going to milk it down and go to overtime. Because they don't want to kick a 60-yard field goal, because you'd have to kick a line drive more apt to be blocked, and then maybe you get somebody who wants to be on SportsCenter, scoop it up and take it for a touchdown, and you lose. That was the risk, even with the 47-yarder, but at 47, good kicker, the chances of it getting blocked were pretty slim. And to Andrew's point off the air, and then Michael mentioned it on, it's the difference of having to go to Kansas City or Cincinnati, and they did not play well against Kansas City.
But they certainly know Kansas City. They've played them twice.
Well, I don't know how much that plays into it, because be careful what you wish for. Cincinnati's not going to be any cakewalk either. But certainly the matchup against Kansas City this year was not good.
But you're also playing them for a third time.
I don't think you call timeout there. You know what? I know you're terrible defensively. You had plenty of time during the play clock running down
to change the personnel
you wanted to change.
I just didn't understand why they couldn't have changed the personnel on the fly there. I'm sorry. And again, I'm not giving a benefit of the doubt to the guy who decided to go for it on fourth down in the third quarter from his own 18. I'm sorry, you've lost credibility. You're Antonio Brown now, Brandon Staley. I cannot give you the benefit of the doubt.
And, you know, Michael brought up about, you know, Wentz playing in big games. Coaches also go through that, too. You know, you coach differently in big games. I mean, you sometimes get exposed. You panic.
Now, an offshoot of this victory, right now, the Raiders just tweeted out that Steeler fans are wildly showing their appreciation for Daniel Carlson, who kicked the field goal, and they're donating incredible amounts of money to his charity.
That's nice.
Steelers fans love doing that.
They should also do it to Brandon Staley.
By the way, you know, Danny had to turn around, Don. He was already on his way to Pickett outside of Mike Tomlin's house to try to get him fired. He had to turn the car around when he found out they made the playoffs.
It's so interesting that the sport with the least amount of games has so many wacky scenarios when it comes to the last game of the season.
They could not have picked a better week. And the NFL had a great weekend.
Well, you know who really people should be sending gifts to is Jacksonville.
Yes.
They're the ones who made this possible.
Yes.
The monster upset. Now, we just talked about this. Carson Wentz and the Colts fail, lose against Jacksonville. They were huge favorites. Here's Carson Wentz on missing the playoffs.
It sucks, honestly. You know, walking off kind of in disbelief. It's hard to fully reflect on everything. Right now, it all happened so fast. But just even thinking back just to where we came from, dug ourselves out of a hole. You know, we're in control of our destiny. And then the last 2 weeks, just didn't get it done. And it hurts right now. A lot of reflection to come over the next handful of days, unfortunately. But, it's not a good feeling right now.
Andrew, what they should have had was Nick Foles be the backup. Then they would have won that game.
You're so right. It was such an oversight by them to have allowed that to happen.
He's given up. He used to love Carson Wentz. He used to have his poster over his bedroom wall,
I don't. I don't think that's true. But yeah, he was a. Yeah. He did stick with him for a long time.
Well, though. I was all for the trade when that happened. After that season that he had last year, really good quarterbacks don't have seasons that look like that. So they had. I was totally fine with them getting rid of him. But you're right. I hung on for a while, but certainly not anymore.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the Joe Judge of it all.
Mm.
I asked Anthony to go through the audio of this day in history, 2 years ago yesterday, to hear exactly what I said to see how ridiculous it was, my thoughts on Joe Judge, the day of his presser 2 years ago.
The Giants are now 0-2, post Tom Coughlin, an absolutely awful 0-2 on coaching selections. They pick a guy no one's remotely familiar with from a coaching tree that has not been remotely successful. Then I hear the guy get up and he uses one footballism after another, and I'm supposed to be like, oh, this is amazing. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he wins a ring. I hope it turns out to be amazing. My gut is, no, it's not the kind of thing that impresses me or gets me excited. The crying Giants fans. I didn't know how upset you guys were about being terrible the last few years until right now. My God, people are out of their minds upset. Listen, the presser worked because people are in love. They are angry and in love.
Is it full-blown love?
It's bloom. Full bloom. The people are screaming in anger that I had any judgment. Sorry, I don't like generic tough guy football jargon. I'm sorry. It's not for me. I'm glad it won you guys over. Doesn't win me over. I guess, it's different. I'm used to my team stinking, Don. It's been 20 years. It's Giants are not used to being the laughingstock of the NFL. So welcome to the gutter. I know what it's like to have a press conference and get emotional. Don't worry. I'll talk to you next year when you're looking for someone new.
Oh, wow. Look how prescient.
What a great job.
Well, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So the word is Joe Judge will be back.
I don't believe it.
As head coach.
Although this meeting with Tisch and Mara is longer than the meeting to get hired.
God, it really looks like that the way it went down was he spoke to the players, and now here's the meeting.
How about this, Don? Maybe Tisch and Mara don't want to be the ones to fire him. Maybe they want the new GM to fire him. Because they're not going to be able to hire a new coach until they hire a GM anyway, so it's not like they're losing ground. Maybe they want the GM to be the bad guy. Hey, well, you know what? We're forward thinking. We brought in a guy from outside the Giant organization. He doesn't like Judge. We're going to allow him to pick his coach. He didn't like him. He's gone. This way they don't look like the ones with the itchy trigger finger.
But I would just think, again, it doesn't matter what we think. But the longer you go without firing him and allowing reports to be out there that he's coming back, it just does not make your organization look good. And I hope, whatever they decide, Michael, I want John Mara to have a press conference and explain to us why.
I want him to come on the show and explain why.
But I want to hear it. And maybe he can convince me otherwise. Maybe he has some inside information that we don't have.
Well,
but don't issue some sort of a statement or don't say anything at all, and then have a big dog and pony show when you hire your general manager and then field questions then, like 2 months from now. If Joe Judge is back, I want a press conference explaining why.
Well, hearing from people and getting explanations from this organization seems to be a thing of yesteryear, as the Giants announced that Dave Gettleman's time with the organization has come to an end. They did not make him available to speak to the press.
You know what amazed me, Peter?
1946 with Gettleman. Yeah.
So many people were upset that, and even Don is, that Gettleman was allowed to have a soft landing. It doesn't mean that he's an evil guy because he was inept. People were complaining that they allowed him to take pictures with his family before the game on the sideline. You didn't afford, you know, Jerry Reese. Okay, I get it. So you made a mistake with Reese. But you know, why do we have to have blood? The guy was terrible. Peter just gave you the record, 19-46. He's been awful. He set the organization back a decade. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And now you have to flog him in the public square? I don't get it. I don't understand why people want that.
But you get the opposite now. All right?
You don't get anything. He doesn't come out looking like smelling like a rose.
But he gets the soft landing.
But he's out of a job.
But the way it is, he retired. He walked away. He got what he wanted. He gets the press. Would it make you feel better if he was fired? Well, when you deserve to be fired, you should be fired.
Well, but it's just semantics.
Well, it's semantic, but it still happened. You know, nobody wants to be fired, Michael. All the coaches and general managers and executives that lost their job today lost their job. It's out there. He gets to walk away retiring. When Jerry Reese, and again, I wasn't the biggest fan of Jerry. He did win two Super Bowls with this team. A lot of it was Ernie Accorsi's players, but still, he was the general manager of a two-time Super Bowl team. He didn't get to finish a year. He got fired. He had been with that organization his entire life, gets fired, has to live with that disgrace of being fired as a general manager before the season's even over. He didn't get to walk away on his own. He didn't even get the firing after the season was over. He got the embarrassment of it in-season firing. And this guy, that wasn't nearly as important as Jerry Reese, gets to walk away and have his statement that I was a privilege to serve as general manager of the New York Giants for 4 years and all that, and get the accolades from the team and all that. Again, I don't want my pound of flesh. I just want what right is right. He deserved to be fired.
But, Don, he was fired. We all know he was fired. What's the difference?
I don't know. We can agree to disagree. I think there is a difference.
Somebody that was fired or somebody that retired.
And the only reason that Jerry Reese was treated the way he was treated was because, you know, he kind of fat-fingered the whole Eli Manning thing, too. Everybody lost their job because of that. That might have set the organization back 10 years.
And that's what happens. I guess that if you want to get fired, the way you do it is you personally attack John Mara. And what happened with Eli Manning, which is something that just would not stand with John Mara, and so he ended up firing McAdoo and Reese for it. But how about 19 wins in 4 years, and he gets to walk off with a statement, and then I have to hear from the Giants, we would like to thank Dave for his commitment to this franchise, Mara and Tisch said in a joint statement.
But Tisch also took a broadside shot at him. Highly
accomplished 35-year career in the National Football League. So he gets complimented out the door and gets to retire instead of having to be, you know, fired like he should have been.
But Tisch didn't compliment him. Tisch said, we're tired of the losing. We're disappointed in the losing. But in that same statement, he's a big part of the losing.
Second
pick in the draft, he takes a running back. And the sixth pick, he takes a chance on a quarterback.
But I understand. But this is a joint statement from Mara and Tisch. We'd like to thank Dave for his commitment to the franchise. He has had a highly accomplished 35-year career in the National Football League. Dave was an integral part of building three of our Super Bowl teams, including two championship teams. And we wish Dave, his wife Joanne, and their entire family the best in his retirement. So he gets to go off on a nice wave of positivity when he won 19 games as general manager of the team.
They didn't have a statement when Jerry Reese was like going and said, Jerry Reese is the Antichrist. They said nice things about him too.
Yeah, but he still was fired and was not allowed to finish the season. So why is it okay to have and there's nothing worse, right, Peter, as a general manager doesn't even get to finish the season. Usually general managers, you're past the trade deadline, free agent signing period. There's nothing else to do, all right? You can at least wait till the end of the season.
Yeah, it's not common to do that.
But he's got two rings on his finger. He was the general manager. And again, you can talk about a Corsi all you want, but technically he was the general manager, been with this organization forever, and he has to have an F next to his name. Fired. Couldn't finish the season. Couldn't be there for the last couple of weeks of the season. Can't do it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
The other coaching moves we mentioned, the Dolphins had a winning record in each of the last two seasons with Brian Flores. Well, he's out as head coach. First time the Dolphins have finished with a winning record in consecutive years since 1997 to 2003. Seven-game win streak to close the season, including beating the Patriots yesterday, and Brian Flores is fired today. By the way, he's the first name I would have been thinking about if we found out Joe Judge was out.
Really? You want another Belichick acolyte?
Listen, I'm not going to punish people for being Belichick if I've seen them, their ability to win.
But everybody talks about the seven-game winning streak. I'm sorry, he started off 1-8, too.
But this team is – that's a rough team. He did more, I would say, over the last 2 years than what the Giants have talent-wise and got winning records both years.
And listen, I mentioned before, he's the first coach ever to be fired after having a seven-game winning streak in the second half of the year. But there was a disagreement. I mean, so it wasn't that he was fired necessarily because of his coaching ability. They couldn't get along. Well, so the general manager that had to have Tua, you know, won the face-off.
The Bears, of course, moved on from Matt Nagy.
Another guy I would take in a second.
Over his last three seasons, they ranked 27th.
Now you don't mean that, Don. You wouldn't take Matt Nagy to replace you. You'd say he's
no.
You could say he's better than Joe Judge.
Yes, I would
but
say
that's
every
not the guy
coach
you're replacing Joe Judge with.
No, of course not. Okay. But I'm saying I still would take every one of the coaches that were let go today and yesterday over what Judge has done in the last 2 years.
Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, third most wins by a Vikings head coach, but two playoff wins in 8 seasons. Vic Fangio out in Denver. A 19-30 record over the last 3 seasons, 5-13 against the AFC West.
They call him the Fange.
Well, the Fange is the jobless, sadly. Positive story, guys. Klay Thompson back for the Golden State Warriors.
What?
After 941 days. I got to tell you guys, when I saw that number yesterday, even though I know it had been forever, were you guys taken aback at that?
Of course.
It's a long time. First game he ever played at Chase Center.
I cannot believe it has been that long for Klay Thompson. Let's hear a moment from the game last night. This is a play-by-play from NBC Sports Bay Area.
Klay's got Jared Allen on a switch. He went to reach, and Klay down the lane! I think he's healthy. Yo!
Klay Thompson back for the Warriors. This is interesting. Our friend LV, who's given us such amazing John Varvatos suits in the past, he sent me a Barstool post with Austin Eckler of the Chargers talking to Trent Sieg, the long snapper for the Raiders. And it appears that in this clip, Eckler says, "Were you going to kneel it?" And Sieg, covering his mouth, to hide it from the camera, says yes.
Oh!
Interessante. That will do it for ENN on this January 10th. Two major things, by the way, happened in history on this day.
What happened?
Well, let's go back. I'm guessing we have this one back in 1982.
Third and three. We'll see a pick of some kind on the right side, possibly.
Montana looking, throwing in the end zone. Clark caught it! Dwight Clark!
Interesting postscript to that play.
Okay.
My brother, in celebration, or disappointment that his Cowboys lost, swallowed a piece of ice, was choking on ice.
You know, I've heard of that. When I watched one of the docs about this movie, they spent some time on that.
And so my mom came up with the idea. What do you think she did? Mom of the year.
She made him drink hot water.
Yeah, there you go. And he was okay.
Wait, it was really stuck in there?
Yeah. Weird things happen to my brother during sporting events. He had really bad gas. We had to take him to the hospital during a Tyson fight. My father was furious.
I bet. Did he have to miss the fight?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And he ordered it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
My father was red hot.
40 bucks out the window.
The only time that you see a father, like, screaming at his son for having to take him to the hospital. Apparently, he just overdosed on broccoli.
Okay, this
got this broccoli fetish,
and of course, 23 years ago today, 23 years ago today, the first episode of a little television show called The Sopranos. Nice. That will do it for ENN.
39 years ago today, what show debuted?
39 years ago,
another HBO show.
Well, it has to be that the first HBO show. What's the first HBO show?
No. It was a primetime show.
It was not a primetime show?
No.
Don't know what?
Fraggle Rock.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, actually. I didn't care. Hey, ENN tonight brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker, the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll come back. I have actually, I'm going to talk this through with all of our great listeners. I have a segment I think that would be great for the show. I've dreamed it up.
Really?
And it's an offshoot of something that Don said during our pre-show meeting.
Wow.
I think it's very interesting. Has a lot of good possibilities. So stay tuned for that. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.